Welcome to the Normal Birth Podcast. In this episode, you'll hear from Melissa D., mom of two, as she details her two very similar and yet remarkably different birth stories. As a side note, Melissa was kind enough to share her stories early on in my recording journey, and you'll notice a short jump about a minute and a half in. And fair warning, there is some graphic discussion, as always, in this show. So if you're squeamish about blood, please skip past her trigger warning.
So are you wanting to start with a particular one of your children, or do you want to go back and forth?
I could probably start with my firstborn, because hers was a little bit less dramatic, I guess, than my son's was.
Okay.
So she was born in late February, and it's lucky that I had taken that week off of work. So I really wasn't sure, like, if I was going to go early or late. And I was already a geriatric pregnancy, is what I heard they call it. You, when you're over 35, and the nurses I worked with teaching, they're like, isn't that ugly? So they call you that behind your back. So I was like, well, I'll just take off a week early. And it's lucky that I did, because I would have gone into labor during a night class I was teaching, where like all my students are like 20-year-old boys.
Okay.
So they probably would have freaked out. So when I went into labor, I was eating shrimp and rice, and we were watching this show, and I could not concentrate at all once my contractions started. And I also couldn't eat shrimp and rice for like a year after that. But so we lived in Hendersonville, but we drove to Clarksville because my doctor was here. And so we waited like 45 minutes before we headed this way.
Yeah.
And the hospital was great, but my doctor was kind of wild, because he would come in during my appointments and like complain about his wife. Like around Christmas time, he would...
So the first, when I went into labor, I was eating shrimp and rice, so, and watching a show, so I couldn't concentrate at all. And I couldn't eat shrimp and rice for like a year after that. So we waited about 45 minutes, and then we came to the hospital. So it was like a 45 minute drive, and went to the emergency room, and they were like, well, we'll put you in a wheelchair. And I just was like, I can walk there myself.
Yeah.
They put maybe in the wheelchair to go upstairs. And so by this point, it's maybe like 8, 9 o'clock at night. And so they went to call my doctor, and when they came back, they said, oh, he decided he wants to sleep, so he won't be here till the morning.
Do you know how far dilated you were at that point?
I don't think very far, because I didn't end up giving birth until like 12 hours later.
Okay.
So I got an epidural, and they were like, oh, he just decided he would wait. And he had not been my favorite, because he would, like, if he was delivering a baby and I had an appointment, I would just wait there for 45 minutes in my paper gown.
Yeah.
And no one would come and say, like, hey, he's not going to be here for a while, and I had sciatica, so, you know, it would have been nice to not...
To, like, yeah.
Sit on the table. Or he would come in and complain about his wife and say he'd have to hide presents at the office around Christmas, because she would look at them and, like, look for them and that kind of stuff, and... If I was in pain from sciatica or something, he'd be like, oh, well, it'll just go away when you give birth.
Okay, but also, so how long had you been with that doctor?
It was fairly new, because I had just come back from California, because my husband and I had moved to Los Angeles, mm-hmm. and then when I found out I was pregnant, we moved back, because the cost of living there was, like, so crazy. Yeah. Like a 650-square-foot apartment right outside L.A. is, like, $1,600 a month or something.
Oh, goodness.
So we moved back, and so I just got him when I got back here.
Okay.
So I was supposed to have an appointment that morning with him, and so he comes in about like 30 minutes before like my appointment would have been,
uh-huh.
and he was like, oh, we have an appointment today. And I said, oh, I thought I'd come early. Is that okay with you? Because it was just like constant like little comments. Like,
yeah.
One time he said, oh, are we going to keep it under 200 pounds to me when I'd only gained 20 pounds my whole pregnancy and my daughter was 8.5 pounds of that?
How inappropriate.
So.
That is not okay.
So I got lucky because when I was going into labor, like the nurses did almost all the work, so I didn't have to see his face until the very, very end.
That's really good. So, did you go back to him for your second baby?
No.
No.
I was looking for women or, other people who had a different review, so I went to a totally different doctor the second time. During labor with her, I threw up. I don't know how common that is, even though I hadn't eaten for 12 hours
No.
because I was so nauseated. And then at the very last part, the doctor came in and I was pushing her out. And so first they told me to stop because her head is in the 90th percentile. So they had to give me an episiotomy. So they did ask before
Okay.
they cut me. And I said yes, because otherwise I was gonna tear. And
Yeah.
so they also asked me if I wanted a mirror to look at what was going on during my labor. And I was like, no, hard pass on that. I don't want to see what's happening. It's enough to know what's happening. So they cut me, and then about she just had her head out, and they told me to stop pushing again because her umbilical cord was wrapped around her neck.
Okay.
So originally my husband was going to cut her cord, but he couldn't
Because they had to.
because they had to do it.
Okay.
And so then the rest of the birth seemed fine. She was very purple, which was kind of alarming at
Yeah.
first. But she was fine. And then the first thing she did was pee on me. So for people who want to look glamorous in their labor photos, when they handed her to me, the first thing she did was like pee down my shoulder. So I was glad my hair was like up in a bun
Yeah.
because she would have peed into my hair.
Into your hair, which is, I mean, that's motherhood in a nutshell,
Right.
right?
Meet your child, she pees on
She
you.
pees on you. Oh.
And so I did have an epidural that time that worked, but I did not expect how much it was going to hurt like after it wore off because they have you lay in bed for a while. And it is shocking because they make you, and no one tells you that this, that you're gonna have to like get out of bed and go pee immediately after it wears off. So you have to get out of bed and walk to the bathroom while you're still hooked up to your IV. And so the nurse, who was great, like a mom, like I think her daughter was also a nurse who worked in the nursery, who is gonna have a baby soon. But she like helped me go into the bathroom, and tears are just like streaming down my face. And I'm like, I'm not a big crier, but it hurts so much, like having that episiotomy and having it sewn up, and then the shock of how that felt as soon as the epidural wore off was just like really startling. And this was before COVID, so they put me in a wheelchair, they take me to my room, and maybe like an hour or something after, I mean not too long after, like my parents came, his brother and sister-in-law came, and the room was full of people, and I
You feel like you have to like put on a face and like welcome them
yes.
all.
And because my daughter was born after midnight, she and my mother-in-law shared the same birthday. So the first thing she said when she walked into the room was, "Where's my birthday present?"
No. Almost.
My first Mother's Day card says, "Thank you for the greatest birthday present." And I think my brother was like in China at the time, so he didn't get to see her till way later. But so that part was great, but we hadn't slept. So like that night before, when he decided he was gonna sleep, the doctor, we hadn't slept, so we'd been up the whole time. My parents popped in to visit us. My parents got a little bit worried because they sound off this alarm at that hospital, like when a baby is born, like a little like in the waiting room, it's like a little sound to let you know like one's been born. And so my dad was getting kind of worried because it took an hour of pushing to get my daughter
Yeah.
out total. So we hadn't slept. So finally, after everybody visited, the nurses finally like convinced us, like, let us take the baby to the nursery. You guys can finally get a nap. So at this point, like, we had gone Thursday night to the hospital. This was Friday night, so we hadn't slept in like over like almost 24 hours.
Yeah.
And I remember it was dark because it was February. And so I felt like as soon as the door shut and I closed my eyes, they came back in and they said, "You have to get out of bed and go into the hallway because there's a tornado warning." And so I had just let my daughter go to the nursery. She was away from me for the first time, and there was a tornado a mile away from the hospital that destroyed some houses and cars and stuff like that.
Oh my gosh.
So I go into the hallway after going through all this, and I see another lady with her baby in the hallway, and I'm like calling my mom crying, like, they don't let me have my baby back, because they decided to keep them all in the nursery, which was
Yeah.
good, like during the tornado. But here I am, like the first time there's any kind of danger around my first child, and she's away from me. And I'm having to stand in the hallway after having an episiotomy not, 4 or 5 hours earlier, waiting for the tornado too.
Did anyone offer you like a wheelchair or did you want to sit?
They didn't, so my husband did this. He went and like got the chair out of our room and just like wheeled it into the like pushed it into the hallway, because I was still in a lot of pain, to the point that like I woke up like with the shakes, like almost like I was freezing during the night at one point, I guess from shock. And so, she was in the nursery to get like her heel test done, to get her blood work done. And so as soon as it was over, they said, "Well, we'll bring her right back," because I wasn't gonna go to sleep after that. And so maybe like 30 minutes or 45 minutes passed, and she's still not back with us. And so one of the nurses forgot to bring her back, and one of the other ones like chewed her out, like, "You can't freak out new parents like this and forget to bring her back," because they had taken all the babies into like a windowless area of the nursery for the tornado and then brought him back out, and they just forgot to bring her back to our room.
It's so hard. Was she like upset when she got back or just kind of sleeping?
No, just kind of sleeping. She was pretty good, in the hospital. Like, she was 8.5 pounds, I think,
That's
and
healthy.
so she pretty much slept the whole time.
Oof, that's a lot of nerves.
Yeah, I mean, like that's what you do too, right? Is you call your own mom when something dramatic happens. So other than that, it wasn't bad. Like all the nurses were really great. We had, like maybe had one at night who was a little bit off, where she kept asking me if I'd already taken my pain medication, and I was like, "Just have a computer for that, like. We have an opioid
You're
problem," and you're like,
supposed to
"Hey, have you had your
like
drugs
chart
yet?" And like
those.
people could just be like, "No, I'm getting more."
So in terms of that, how do you normally feel about taking medications like that? Because I know some people are like, nope, dope me up, and some people are kind of resistant to taking anything.
I was okay with it only because the episiotomy was so painful, especially like when I went home. Anytime I was like sitting was like more painful than I had expected, and no one had said like, "Hey, it's gonna kind of hurt to sit down for a
And
while."
that's all you're gonna wanna
Yeah,
do.
and I am not one who usually likes to take pain medication because I get migraines and I already have anxiety, and that kind of makes it worse depending on what kind it is. Like it gives me headaches, but I use it in that case because it was just kind of painful. And I've talked to some moms who are like, "Oh, I'm gonna go back to work in like 2 weeks after I give birth." And I don't think people talk to moms enough about like it's not just about bonding with baby time. It is like you healing time. Like even if you sit at a desk at work, it is not comfortable. It is not hard. It's not easy to be able to concentrate. Like it's a difficult thing to focus on something like work, even 4 weeks, 6 weeks. And I said people don't want to, because I worked at a place then that we only got, I think, 2 weeks of paid leave, and if you wanted to take off more than that, you just had to take it
Just
off.
had to take it.
If you had any kind of vacation time, they made you burn all of it. So
Did they
you
let you like bank up a lot of it, or was it?
the max was, I think, 4 weeks. Yeah, so I think they made you burn all your vacation time, and maybe they didn't give us any maternity leave time, because the place I worked at first, with my first birth, They got in trouble because what they would do is, like, technically fire women at the end of the month that they gave birth
Okay.
and made them go on maternity leave and then would, like, rehire them when they came back. So they were getting no pay.
Yeah, that sounds highly illegal.
So there was, like, a New York Times story about it that they, like, kind of, like, swept under the rug and didn't talk about.
That's funny.
But yeah, so you got 4 weeks of vacation a year, and they'd make you save it all up if you weren't going to go on maternity leave and burn it all then, and then you had no vacation until, like, your next year came around.
So, paid leave. I mean, that's a huge thing, 'cause like I don't want to get graphic, but as you've touched on, like there's a lot of things going on with your body that make it physically uncomfortable to sit. Not to mention, like, how did your baby sleep for the first few weeks? Like, you're running on, limited energy reserves.
Yeah, and they also, like, make you, like, go to the bathroom before you're allowed to be discharged from the hospital, and no
Yeah.
one tells you that, like, hey, you might be full of stitches in your, like, if you have a C-section or if you have any tearing or episiotomy, but they're gonna pump you full of laxatives and make you
Yeah.
go to the bathroom before you get to leave with your baby.
So, speaking of laxatives, did anyone give you a heads up on what that was gonna be like?
No, I had no idea. It was gonna be like every few hours you're gonna eat either a pain pill or a laxative.
Yeah. Yeah. No one gave me a warning on that, and I remember one of the doctors in the hospital telling me, like, you have to take laxatives. And I was like, why do I need laxatives? But I was so thankful because I can't imagine, like, I didn't wind up with an episiotomy, but the trauma that I had, like, it burns. And there's so much going on with your pelvic floor anyway at that point in time. Like, you can't do that properly.
No, like, it is no joke. Like, after you have a baby, if you gotta pee, you cannot wait. Like, you have to just go to the bathroom because a sneeze could go wrong afterward.
Did they give you like the squirt bottle and the pads and all of that? Those are heaven.
And I had, like, done some research on my own, and I bought some Tucks pads, and
Yes.
they said if you put them in the freezer and then put them in
They're
your
really nice.
underwear, it works.
That's the good thing. Did anyone teach you how to make a padsicle?
No.
One of my nurses taught me that, and I'm like, that's wonderful.
I guess it's kind of similar because it's just like you just take little pads and you freeze them and then put
Yeah,
them in
put
there.
them in there. All right, so with your son, I mean, how is that different in terms of COVID? Like,
Oh man, so I went to every single ultrasound appointment alone. Like, my husband was not allowed to come.
how is that for him? Do you know? Like,
I
do you guys
think it
talk
was
about it?
okay because he came to all the ones for my daughter once he got back from California as well, because I came back first,
Okay.
and he understood. Plus, he was home with my daughter,
Yeah.
so when I was at the appointment, so he was okay with it. And I brought him, pictures and stuff. And the only thing that was kind of worrisome in my pregnancy with him was that they told us they were going to call us unless something was wrong with the tests. And they
Okay.
called us, but they called us to say, like, hey, we got your blood test back. We can tell you the gender. And at first, we were, like, on speakerphone, really worried that
Like,
something was a
oh my gosh, you
problem.
guys call.
Yeah. And so, because they told us we won't call unless there's a problem.
Yeah.
But he was born the first week of April 2020. So it was, like, the very beginning of the worst
Yeah.
of the pandemic. So, like, the day before, I went to the hospital, like, two dozen nursing home patients got COVID and were, like, in the same hospital, like, the day before. So this was, like, right when, like, workplaces were like, should we go remote? Should we not go remote?
Yeah.
And my work didn't have any intention of going remote at first, and then maybe they did for, like, a week before I had contractions with him. But it was different this time. Like, I almost wasn't sure I was in labor. Because it just felt different.
How so?
With her, the contractions were more traditional. The ones of him, like, came on fast and seemed to be close together
Like
right
almost
away.
immediately.
And With her, like once I had the epidural, like I waited a little while even to get the epidural, and I was fine. As soon as I got to the hospital with him, I felt like I was in dire pain. So they gave me an epidural, and I was like shaking because I was in so much pain, and it didn't work. I don't know why it didn't work. So at one point, I felt really nauseated, and they had to give me something to bring my blood pressure up because my blood pressure got really low. And I'm laying in bed, and I almost feel like my vision is pinholing because I had this sensation of pain, like almost like lightning going across my hips from the outside in, and then just like shooting down my tailbone. Like I was being electrocuted. And I had no idea what's going on. They try to like up the epidural still, like nothing. It was as if I didn't get one at all. They even told me after the fact, and they didn't ask me before they did it, that they put fentanyl in my epidural bag. Didn't feel any pain relief at all. So I don't
Didn't
know
touch
if
it.
they did it wrong or if it was too late, or because I've heard, like if you get it too far in, then it doesn't do anything. I'm not really sure how that works. But when the doctor came in, he was in scrubs and then like a paper long sleeve dress and a cap and a mask and a face shield. And so I started giving birth to my son. He was trying to talk to me, and I was like, "Look, man, you have to speak louder. Like, you're down there, I'm up here, and you got on a mask and a face shield, so I can't hear you saying. You're gonna have to speak up." So, then things like went really quickly. Like it took me an hour to push her out, but I had to basically like push him out as fast as I could, which was like 15 minutes, because they said his heart rate was dropping. So I think he was like in the birth canal, like his head was there. It wasn't really going anywhere, so I felt like they were like telling me like you have to push him out as fast as you can because his heart rate is dropping. I think his heart rate dropped to like 70. And so I was really worried about like how much pain I was in, like my blood pressure had dropped, his heart rate was dropping. So I had to push him out like as fast as I could. They were like, "You have to do as hard as you can, fast as you can, like because he's in some distress." And so when I did it that fast, I tore in three places. So I had to get three sets of stitches.
Can I ask where, or is that not something you want to share?
It was in different parts of my vagina, so it was like three different sections of tears. There was I think two sets of stitches on the left and like one on the right side.
So like up the top, kind of.
I think I was it looked there's a bunch of like a couple different places. Like it was a little bit scattered. Because he also has a head in the 90th
A
percentile.
wonderful.
Yeah, because now he's like not even two, and he's like head, weight, and height are all in the, like off the charts.
Excellent.
Yeah, so a giant.
Healthy boy.
Yes, I'm gonna have an NBA player, I think. So, they took him and they were monitoring him. So I really wasn't paying attention to getting the stitches. And I think from so much adrenaline, like I didn't even like feel getting the stitches. Plus, I think the lightning contractions were way worse. They're like sewing me up, and I'm trying to see what they're doing on the table with him because they're trying. Like I think he swallowed some fluid too, so they're trying to like clean out his mouth and nose and get his heart rate back up. And so like at one point I was like really like, and no one was telling me what was going on with him. They were just sewing me back up, so I was like concerned, like am I gonna have to go home without a baby? And the other thing that was very traumatic is when he came out, there was, and this is very graphic, trigger warning, a lot of blood. Like, so there was so much blood that came out of me that it splashed back up on me. Like it hit me in the face. I had my heart monitor on my finger and it was like filled on the inside, like as if it had splashed up inside my heart rate monitor.
Oh my gosh.
My husband, who is a history guy, would joke later it kind of looked like a Civil War hospital, because it was like just lots and lots of blood. And so afterward, they took him away. Like I didn't get to hold my son at first. It was maybe like an hour
Okay.
of working on him and monitoring him and that kind of stuff to make sure he was good before they brought him back. But a nurse came over to me after they took him, to work on him, and said, "We think you suffered a placental abruption during birth, and that's why there's
Okay.
so much blood." And I didn't really know what that
Like, what is
was.
that? Yeah.
And so, when I researched it afterward, it's supposedly fairly rare, like 200,000 cases
Yeah.
a year. And so I was just thinking, like, that could have possibly been deadly for both of us had I not, like, come here to give
Had you not
birth.
been in
If
a
I had just, like,
hospital
stayed at
setting.
home or whatever, I know that can be fatal for either or
Yeah.
both. But no one ever, like, really talked to me about what it was or anything.
Did you ask, or did you even think to ask in that point?
I think I was just like too shocked because this was still like I wasn't even cleaned up. Like I had just been
Yeah.
like sewn back up and I was wondering like, where's my baby? Is he okay? Like, so I don't think that I was like just present
In a
enough to
place.
ask those questions. And then later when a doctor came to see me in my hospital room, he was like, "Oh, epidural work out fine?" And I was like, "No, it
No.
didn't work at all. Like, what is happening here?"
Were
Like,
you there?
and the thing is, we have a team of doctors at the new physician that I went to, and so one did the delivery and a
Okay.
different one came to check on me. But I just wondered, like, do you guys like not
Not talk about it.
talk or exchange notes?
Yeah. So, I mean, you, goodness, placental abruption, that's a huge thing. Did you ever consider a labor at home? Like, was that at all an option for you?
Think so.
No. Just straight take me to the hospital,
Yeah,
give me an
I will
epidural.
just do the sciencey stuff. I know some people want to do more like a holistic
Yeah.
doula stuff, but
No, it's what's important to you in birth.
yeah.
So what was valuable to you in birth? Was it strictly just get the baby out and get us home healthy, or was there anything in particular that you were hoping from that?
Mostly just getting it out healthy. I think that it was harder to expect, like, even though I'd been through it once before, like with COVID, and so I think that was the thing that was hardest to expect was like, am I gonna have to wear a mask during labor?
Yeah.
Only one person could see me, which was the person who I decided to be with me at the birth, which was my husband. So he liked that because he's like, well, we just
It's just
don't have to have
us.
any visitors. So I think that's nice. And one of the things that I think that's I expected that I really got a lot out of from the nurses was like what do you do? Like breastfeeding coaching or sleeping patterns or how to wrap babies. I mean, there's a lot of things that I think that people don't think about that the nurses do to coach parents because if you haven't read a bunch of books, if you haven't been a parent, if you haven't watched a baby before, like, because I come from experience where a lot of the women I know have like babysat children or have younger siblings,
Yeah.
and then a lot of the men I know have a baby, they've never even changed a diaper before.
Yeah.
So some of that stuff is good to know. We brought some pacifiers for our daughter, and she was like, "Nope, like even as a newborn, pluck them out." And the nurse was like, "Oh, I got you. I got the kind." And she like brought us
The
a
special
smoothie,
one.
and that was it for her after that.
Yeah.
So, that was more than I expected, but it was great to have some coaching from people who've done it a million times.
A good postpartum nurse is invaluable.
Yeah, I mean, we even had different ones who would like help us like with the nursing process and that kind of thing. So that was something like obviously I'd never done before, so.
Yeah. Did you take any like classes or anything beforehand?
I didn't. So most of my friends, since I waited so long, because you know, I was married before, and I just assumed like, didn't happen then. Probably can't have kids.
Yeah.
And then like, surprise, you're in your mid-30s. So I didn't take classes. And most of my friends had already had children, and so they were like, okay, here's some things to avoid. So they told me some books like, do not read this book or that book because,
Which books?
like, what to expect when you're expecting. Because they're like, it is traumatizing. It's all about you might expect, like it could be, you know, I don't know because I didn't read it with it, but several people told me like, do not read that book.
It's an encyclopedia of all the things that can go wrong.
Oh my gosh, that's what I heard. And my husband did read a couple of books about like fatherhood and stuff, but they weren't as dramatic as I think some of the books that they target to women.
Now, it's good to be informed and to like understand what could go wrong, and there's a big difference and a fine line, I think, between that and what that book offers.
Between like you might poop versus you're gonna get tuberculosis and die.
Exactly. Yeah, if your baby turns a funny color, this means this myriad of rare genetic diseases. And yeah. So speaking of poop, was that a thing that happened for you or?
First time, no.
Okay.
And second time, my husband said yes.
Yes. But I mean, second time, it sounds like there was a whole lot of other stuff going on
Oh
and.
yeah, like I didn't even feel it at all. I think that's the other thing is like you
Yeah.
don't even realize that you're doing it.
You're doing it, yeah. Do you remember anything about delivering your placentas?
Well, with Noah, the placenta came like rushing out the same time as him, so that's why they figured it was the placental
Okay,
abruption.
yeah.
I don't remember about her, but with him they said like it just like all shot out at the
All
same
shot out.
time.
Okay, yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense. So going into your births beforehand, who would you say was valuable to you as far as like people in your life that you got information from?
Definitely some of my best friends because they had kids who were older. So like one of the things that I was kind of curious about from my girlfriends when I was having a son is like, and I never even thought about it until the doctor asked me, was like, are you gonna have him circumcised or not?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my gosh, I've never even thought about a circumcision as a woman. So I was like, I don't know. And so we did some research about it and talked to some of my friends, and some of them talked about when you do circumcise your son, sometimes you have to like really watch it because sometimes things can kind of turn and they can get infections. And was there any like medical reason that circumcision started? And it seems to just be an aesthetic, so we opted
Opted
not
not to.
to because you know like a baby's already been through
Yeah.
enough. We don't want to bring home a baby who also, you know, I wouldn't want part of my stuff clipped off either. So that's kind of invaluable. It's like kind of getting their opinions because two of my closest friends have sons, and so I asked them like, "What did you do?
Yeah.
And how did it go?" And one had gotten her son circumcised and no problems, and the other one it got really like dicey. And
Okay.
so we were like, "Okay, let's."
Let's
Let's
not.
not. Let's not do it.
Yeah.
So that, of course, my own mom. But mostly like my husband because he is way more patient and calm than I am, and so I already have like a generalized anxiety disorder. And what people don't tell you is if you have any mental health issues, that you can't take the same drugs when you're pregnant that you took before you're
Okay.
pregnant.
How did you learn about that?
Being pregnant.
Okay.
So like once I found I was pregnant, I had been on like a serotonin booster for general anxiety, and they put me on like this minuscule dosage of another kind of drug, which basically did nothing for
Yeah.
me at all. But even when you're breastfeeding, you can't like go back to the old stuff until you're done completely.
How long did you choose to breastfeed?
For her, I think I did 10 months.
Okay.
And then with him, I think I quit at 6 months where I was like back at work and just wasn't like a very optimal environment. And so then I finally just quit.
Did that go well for you, like before that point, or did you have problems with it?
It went pretty well for me at that point. Like the work environment was just like the hardest time place to like find a designated place to pump. Like it became sort of a point of contention to like because
Yeah.
the designated like office that they had for us to pump in, people would just like take it upon themselves to use it whenever they felt like. And then they finally put us in like a utility closet to pump.
Okay.
And that just wasn't working for me.
Yeah. How often were you pumping and how long do you remember?
like twice a day during a work day. And I, the thing that no one told me until later is that like, if you pump less than what, like 20, 30 minutes, then you're not even like getting to the good stuff.
Yeah.
So, I'll try to like make it at least to that like 20 minute mark, but, I don't know if other moms feel this way. There's some anxiety, like if you have to pump at work, like, okay, I got to get back on the clock because people are going to wonder where I am.
Yep.
And I ran into the boss once when I was on my way to the pumping room and he turned blood red. And my husband was like, oh, he's thinking about your boobies.
Yeah, I think that's really common, I think, for a lot of women to feel pressure to stop pumping when they're at work, because there is that whole like, you're getting paid to not sit in a closet for 20 minutes, and they don't seem to understand like, no, I'm actually like producing food for my child.
Well, yeah, and like, unless you have like a hands-free thing, like what else are you supposed to do? You're like holding cups to your breasts to pump, and it is not a pleasant experience. It is kind of painful, and if you don't pump, it's painful. So
yeah. So is there anything that that you changed last minute with either one of your births that you maybe wish you hadn't, or were really glad that you did?
No. I've heard stories from like some of my former students about changing names at the last minute and stuff like that. Like one of my students said, "Oh yeah, my wife picked a name and then I changed it at the last minute." And I was like, "Oh man, come on!" But not really. Like we had a bag packed pretty early on. We had names pretty picked on pretty early on. Like we had easily picked first names. It was like middle names we struggled with, but okay. I don't think we've changed anything at the last minute. If I would change anything, I might have gone to the hospital earlier with my second, just to see if we could mitigate some of the pain, but
yeah.
What's odd is like the recovery seemed easier, like this time not having an epidural, and I don't know if it's like adrenaline or like your body can like feel what's going through at the time versus it all like slamming into you at once after it's stacked up. But I felt like I could get up and walk faster and was ready to go home faster with him than I was with her. So I don't know if that's an epidural, non-epidural thing or second time.
I think it varies, honestly. One of the things the nurses told me with my first baby was that if you aren't staying on top of your pain medication, it can snowball on you. So I think that it sounds like that may have been what happened to you with your first one, is that as soon as that epidural wore off, it just hit you.
Yeah.
Yeah. But with the second one, I mean, you said you didn't get an episiotomy, but you still had some trauma down there. I think it is important to mention that a lot of women report that healing from those kinds of things goes a lot smoother if they're allowed to naturally tear versus getting an episiotomy. And it's like putting together a tear. If it's a smooth edge, the body doesn't have anything to like connect to.
Yeah.
Versus, but I mean, the same thing. I think in that situation, I would have made the same choice as you. It's hard to just.
And he saw it. Like my husband saw it. And he said it's just like the tiniest of snips.
Mm-hmm.
But the other part of the problem was like, I guess because it was harder to, it's even harder to clean the episiotomy area, is that I got this like huge pimple from that area too, which was like part of the pain of sitting down is just like from, you know.
From that.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, that's rough. So going home after, what was that like for you with your babies? You go home, you're in like a ton of pain and you have a supportive husband, it sounds like. What were those first few weeks like for you?
It wasn't too bad since he was working from home at the time. And so he was there full time. I got to take some time off. And both of our moms really great because if they came over, they did not come over empty handed. They really brought diapers and they brought food. So we would just have to like throw like casseroles or lasagna or whatever they made in the oven. So I don't think we like really cooked that much the first few weeks. And so that was really nice. So they say it takes a village. So that's what you should get moms is diapers and food.
or some food.
And so, and like my mom would make me like oatmeal cookies so like I could, fuel myself, which is nice. And I think oatmeal cookies are really good for like milk
For
production. And
lactation.
so stuff like that. That was really nice. And I think that it would have been harder if one of us would have to cook. And once you have two in the mix, it's way harder because you have a new baby that requires a lot of attention. Older ones either get jealous or want to help. We had our daughter wanted to pick up her little brother right away. We had to say like, okay, like we can't pick him up.
How old was she at that point?
Two,
Two.
and he was a newborn, so she wanted to just like pick him up and like by his head, and we had to tell her to stop.
She wants to be very helpful at
Like
that
we can't pick him up like dollies by the head.
point. So looking back on it, is there anything in particular you think you would have done differently?
First one, I definitely would have maybe like switched doctors if I could have. Like, you have to really like find a doctor who's on the same page as you are, or that's gonna make it worse, I think, during labor if you have someone that you are not totally comfortable with. With my second, I looked up a bunch of reviews. At first, I was like, maybe I should go to an office that has all women. And I looked at some reviews for one of those offices, and it was like abysmal. And then I went to like another like Google review for another doctor's office, and the one I ended up going with, these women talked about how they'd had like two and three babies, and they just went back there every time, and like that's how I made the choice to pick that doctor. So it's a little bit of juggling, so you had to see like what does your insurance cover, because what people don't realize is sometimes your doctor's in network, but the hospital they deliver at is out of network, which is makes no sense. But you basically have to take that and compare like the list of providers that you are eligible to like have your insurance cover, and then compare it with reviews or word of mouth or whatever, which is like putting together a huge puzzle.
Did your insurance cover anything like breast pumps or
It did,
testing?
and at the first, I didn't know that that was going to be a thing, but the first time, the nurses told us like a site to claim that for. And I think what people don't realize too is like if you have an HSA card for work, it'll
Yeah,
cover
it'll cover
those
a
too.
lot of that. That's really helpful. Did you go into any like classes beforehand?
No, I don't think so. And I think part of that is because I used to babysit a lot when I was younger. I used to watch four kids under the age of five. That was like one of my first jobs. But I was also a Red Cross certified babysitter in my youth, so I felt like I had a lot of the basics like baby CPR and some of those care issues. So, and we were of the mind, my husband and I, that a lot of it's going to be like instinctual, right? You can read all the books you want to and take all the classes you want to, but until you get to know who your kid is and about them, like everybody's story is going to be different. And so it's a lot of it's instinctual and learning as you go, because you don't know if your kid's going to be a good eater or a good sleeper or what kind of personality they're going to have.
Yeah, it's, I've heard the analogy, it's waiting on labor is like waiting for a stranger at the airport. You don't know when they're coming or what they look like, but like, I mean, that's real life. And then they join your family and it's like, who is this person? So you did feel like that helped you with your kids, the experience from babysitting and
I think
life
so, because
experience?
at that time, like I said, I was watching like four under the age of five. There was twin toddlers and then a 4 and 5 year old, and so there's a lot of personalities in the mix. I don't think I could deal with four children full time by myself now.
No, it's a
But
lot. How old are they now?
My kids are 1 and 3. He's gonna be 2 in April, and she'll be 4 in February.
We're in February. Do you want any more or
No,
no?
we my husband got a vasectomy
Okay, so no more.
a few weeks, I guess a few months ago. So that's also an experience that I knew nothing about until it happened. So, because if for women, like getting a hysterectomy, getting your tubes tied, it's like this huge
That's a
undergoing.
whole.
For men, a vasectomy is like a 10-minute, if that, procedure. Like,
It's
it
an
takes them
outpatient
longer to
job.
drive to the place than it does to get it done. Like, he literally like watched a video of the guy do it, and it's like an 8 to 10 minute surgery. And then they tell guys like, "Oh, you can have sex again in like 3 days." And for us, we give birth, and it's like 6 weeks.
Six weeks, 'cause man.
Even if you have a placental like block when you're pregnant, you can't have sex for like 6 weeks or more until it heals itself. But yeah, they were like, 3 days, you're good.
Now you said with your daughter you had like an hour of pushing. Did anyone ever give you any kind of coaching going into that like, hey, it might take a while, and how did you manage the exhaustion with that?
No one really talked about like how long it could take. They did say generally like your first birth takes longer, and as you do more, like it have more births, it gets shorter. But I didn't think it'd be an hour of pushing, and I think people underestimate like even if you keep in fairly good shape, like your stomach muscles are pretty blocked, like your pelvic floor can get kind of weak. And so no one really prepared me for an hour, and so that's I think why the puking came in, was because it was just hard to push anymore.
Was that toward the end of things, or was it kind of early on?
Probably around the middle. Like it was just getting like kind of exhausting. So I don't know if that's part of the pain too, right? Because if you have an epidural, you can't really feel it. Like you feel like you're pushing really hard, but
A lot of what I've read indicates that vomiting is actually a good indicator that you're getting close to the end. So it's hard to think of that as a positive thing. But if you read, do you know who Ina May Garten is? She is one of the nation's leading midwives. And she wrote some books that are basically just catalogs of birth stories that she has attended. They're pretty fun to read. And some of them are really graphic. And in about some huge percentage of them, there's either vomiting or stories of a woman saying, like, I need to go to the bathroom right now, and then immediately delivering the baby.
Oh my gosh.
So it's like that's your end game when you get to that point. Do you think if that had happened to you and you had known that beforehand, that it would have been like helpful to
Encouraging, like
you?
close to the finish line. Maybe. With both of my kids, I got pretty nauseated. But with his, they just like gave me some kind of
She
medication
needs some
to.
medication. Did they give you anything with your daughter, or do you remember?
I think it was just the epidural and like my IV. I will say, when they put my IV in, they were like, "Oh, you're a bleeder." Like, that's not really what you want to hear
That's not
when.
helpful.
Like, thanks.
So, I guess wrapping up, is there anything in particular that you would want other women to learn from your birth stories?
I think it's okay to have mixed emotions, right? We live in this age of social media where everything has to be like, "Oh my gosh, it's the greatest day of my life. I waited forever." And you have to look perfect and stuff, and life is not perfect. So one of the things I read that was good advice is like, you can have a birth plan, but like don't lose your mind if something happens aside from that plan. Like you have to change things up. But it's okay to feel other stuff too. Like it's okay to feel scared or nervous or anxious, right? Because you don't really know what to expect. It's like anything else. Like they tell you like in communication, like people feel anxiety about change because they don't know what to expect. And so if you've never done it before, it's okay to feel like you are jumping into something that you aren't sure of yet. You can still be happy, you can still be excited, but people say like, "Oh, when do you know you're ready to have kids?" And the answer is, you never feel ready.
Never feel ready.
I got pregnant in my mid to late 30s, and when I went to tell my parents, I felt like a terrified teenager, like who got pregnant in high school or something. Like, so I think it's okay to feel more than one thing. Like, it doesn't have to have this sheen on it that's perfect.
Did you feel immediate attachment with your kids, or was it more of a progressive thing?
I felt immediate attachment, and Yeah, I think part of that too is why it's important to like hold them as soon as you can. I feel bad for moms who have to wait like a really long time with their
Yeah.
babies in NICU, because I think that's a really big part of it is being able to like physically hold them.
Did you feel any different with your son? Because I know that you said, I mean, as far as golden hour, you did not get that time with him. He was being attended to. But part of the narrative about going without drugs is that you get the hormones that
Yeah.
kind of cause attachment. Was there any difference in that?
I don't think so. I think it's just a little bit different the first time. I don't think you feel less for one than the other, but it's just a different experience when it's for the first time. And he was a little bit smaller than her, so
Okay.
maybe there's a little bit more protective instincts. I think he was like 7, 8 or something like that. So
Okay.
moved from having her, who was like pretty big, and then him, who was just kind of this little shrimp compared to her. So we and I think my husband was kind of glad too, because one of the things that he was nervous about was like having a really like lightweight baby. Like we had like a 6 pound baby, he was almost afraid like it would be too fragile. He was like, I'm kind of glad we had
Kind of afraid to
seven
hold
8 pound
them.
babies, because I'm not afraid I'm gonna break them by touching them.
Yeah. Oh. They're so little and cute, though.
I know, he looked like almost like a little gnome at first because he was kind of like wrinkly, which he grew out of, but
Did they teach you how to swaddle them?
they did. And my daughter was not having it. Like she always wanted to be swaddled but her arms
Her
out,
arms
and
out.
he still doesn't like blankets. If you
Okay.
try to put a blanket on him even now and he's 1 and a half, he'll be
He's
like,
like, no.
mm-mm.
I always like the swaddle because it keeps them like really sturdy.
Yeah.
They're easy to pass around that way.
Something else we didn't know too is about like the co-sleeping kind of thing, because we had her own nursery, and we ended up wheeling her crib into our room for the first 6 months, and
Yeah.
she just did not sleep if she wasn't sleeping in our room with him. He was sleeping on his own right away, like he didn't care to be with us.
Were you doing a lot of night nursing with her?
Some, and that is really hard. People don't tell you like how tired you're gonna be. I think I was nursing her one night and I had almost fallen asleep, which is, I know, really bad. And the cat jumped in my lap while I was nursing her and it scared me to death. I was lucky I didn't just like
Like
toss her or
shocker.
something.
Oh. Yeah, I think it's super, super common to fall asleep with your baby. I used to wish someone would like let me take a nap while I held her and then just like stare at me.
Yeah. I think if I was ever close, my husband would just watch and make sure. And if I started to look too tired, he'd come take her. But yeah. The other thing I didn't expect is like once you start breastfeeding and it's time for that to happen, babies like know it's time and they get really excited and start like jumping up and down.
They
Like,
get like aggressive
yeah.
and
Like a dog
like
who's happy to see you.
Aw, isn't that the cutest
Yeah.
thing? Like, oh, we get that. Well, thank you so much for taking time to come down here and talk to me. I really appreciate that. All right, thank you.
Fun.